Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This is me, KP, with Justin, and we are going to go through sports entertainment with you this afternoon on the pandemic episodes. We have Justin via satellite. How you doing, Justin?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Raw opens up with Asuka, Sasha, Bayley fighting in the ring. Joe sort of kind of trying to break them up. Dolph rolls out there and gives us the, after they finally get him broke up, Dolph does a little intro for Drew and then tells Drew where he would be without him, which would be nothing, which is a bit much, I would think.
Yeah, whatever. He'd probably still be working the Indies.
Yeah. Then he
totally saved his career.
Yes. Good deal. Then he will destroy Drew because he created Drew, which, yeah, right. But also, Drew, I thought it was cool because when Drew gets the mic, to some degree, he plays along with it and says, nobody thinks you can beat me, but, you know, so you pick any stipulation you want and I'll fight you with it.
Yeah, that's bold. I liked it.
Yeah, and then, of course, Dolph decides to bloviate a little bit. Asuka's not having it. She signs the deal, and then Sasha says when she wins, we will have all the titles and we will run the whole damn show. And she's talking about all three shows, and she's not wrong. If yeah. She wins, Sasha's basically been headlining every show anyway for the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And then
she's
of course
the Charlotte spot.
Correct. Then of course Dolph wants
doing a great job with it.
Yeah, and I would say refreshing job with it because, you know, after a while with Charlotte, as much as I like her, it's still Charlotte. You know what I mean? It's not, you can't, yeah. She's still who she is. You can't really vary that, even though she deserves, I'm not knocking her, I'm just saying. Anyway, so Dolph misses a super kick, winds up sliding under a claymore and runs to higher ground. I liked this opening segment as Drew and Asuka good. Stand tall. Charlie, Garza tries to sweet talk the ref. That's not going to work. Then he, of course, Charlie does the blushing and Garza and Zelina get interrupted by the Big Show, and he calls this whole thing winds up being, you know, eventually Big Show winds up in the ring and he's calling out Orton, and Ric Flair interferes and says, or comes out and says, hey, you know, Randy Orton will end you if you don't watch it, but, you know, mm-hmm. Zelina and Garza and Andrade have your fun with Show right here, and he does. Flair, to some degree, does put over Show, and of course he puts over Orton, and then he winds up making a pact, and we get this other match later on in the show between the three of them. Uh-huh. I hated the whole thing. It felt like not being willing to call anybody by their name, Zelina, Garza, Andrade, you know, two of them, Maserati Ferrari and Smurfette. Then later on when he tells them both to come on out because neither one of them's the same size, as like, you stand on one another's shoulders and hit me in the mouth. It had the feeling of, even though I haven't worked in ages, I have no respect for the product right now.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, I didn't like that whole segment, again, because I don't like watching these two guys continually get, you know, they'll do great and then they'll fuck. They'll do great and then they'll fuck. They'll do great and they'll fuck. And it's annoying.
Right, right. Now we want
Big Show. You didn't have anybody else in the back you could send out there to.
Agreed. Agreed. Now we wind up with a match here with the Viking Raiders in the street and Garza and Andrade, and we're still telling the story of Garza and Andrade breaking up during a match with two formidable guys. And, of course, she talks Andrade into coming back after he leaves. And the match part was fine. And Andrade hitting that spinning elbow for the win, that's awesome. And they're the number one contenders. Yeah. Great. Why are we still breaking them up if they're the number one contenders?
Because they think it's compelling storytelling. They mistake busy for compelling storytelling a lot of the time.
Right.
It's just busy.
Right. And these guys are too good for this. It's crazy. But, okay, so then we wind up with Nature Boy talking him into getting in a match with Big Show later on backstage. And then we have Tozawa is in the ring with a gaggle of ninjas, which I appreciate always. He's got a match with R-Truth. Truth fakes an injury, and as Joe points out, wins this match by deceiving the ninja. What'd you think about that?
Yes. Thought that.
I think Truth is always better than this, and it's just funny because it's true. And Joe is great in these segments. He makes the segment sometimes just with commentary on what's going on. But that was just fun. It was fun. Like 2 or 3 minutes, and it was off screen.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I feel like Truth is always a great wrestler, and this is kind of a waste of the talent, but.
It's where we are now, right? It's where we are now. Okay, so after R-Truth winds up winning on the faked injury, we move to MVP telling Lashley he will not invite Apollo to the crew, and then Seth winds up saying that this is going to be the biggest, most important message of his career. We get told about the one-on-two handicap match later on in the evening with Show and Garza and Andrade. Enter Monday Night Messiah as we come back from commercial. He must ask for forgiveness for what he will do to Rey and Dominic. And of course, they flip that switch around a little bit, and Seth winds up letting Dominic know that he's going to destroy the career of Dominic before it starts if he continues down this path. Then Alistair and Alberto come out, and we're going to get a match between Seth, Buddy, and Alistair, but the interesting thing to me is that Seth winds up saying, you know, why would you fall into that? And allows for Alberto to say, you know, this is my hero and all that. I still don't understand why Black is involved in this. And other than when Black points out, I know evil when I see it, and you're evil, and Seth retorts, you ain't seen nothing yet. And then we get a match, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is, but the only thing that doesn't bother me about Black being completely, like, superfluous in this whole plot line and doesn't make sense that he's in it, you know, is the fact that I keep getting to see Aleister Black matches, and great ones, and you have four great wrestlers in this match. And the burial of Humberto Carrillo continues ahead. Boy, he eats it every week, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But that combo move where they do an LOD style move, except it's Seth's flying knee.
Woo! That was riff. Yeah. Looking, it looked good.
Dude, and then
that's just four of my favorites.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And Carrillo won.
Carrillo, okay. To me, I, you know, just they're very so bad. It's great in the ring. Character's just throw away.
Yeah, he's great in the ring. Exactly. But he winds up rolling up Seth. Seth spins out of it into a curb stomp, and then they wind up with a fight afterwards in which Seth winds up getting a flash stomp on the stairs, and I thought this segment was really well done. You did too?
I did.
Yeah.
What if, now I will totally go with the whole thing, Extreme Rules match, instead of Dominic going heel, it's Black goes heel, and like that might be a worthy payoff for it, you know.
Yeah, but what would the company do if you had Seth and Black and Buddy on the same page?
That's what I'm talking about. That's just like
overkill.
The baddest fact. That's a faction right there.
Yeah. All the stars. That would be great. I don't see that coming because I can't see them. I just don't see them. Dude, could you imagine Aleister Black and Seth Rollins as a tag team? Not like all the time, but just whenever something pops up and it's time to go off.
Yeah.
Because Seth's pretty good at figuring out ways that he's just really good at tag team wrestling. You know, and he's been, you know, he's had like, you know, five different co-champions with him and all that. But part of it is too, all those Shield matches where it, you know, wasn't necessarily always going to be the same partner with him. Sometimes it's Dean, sometimes, you know, in the three-man tag matches and all that, he just kind of knows how to tell those stories. And Alistair's moveset is so great, he would have a whole nother thing to paint with. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, that combo, it just screams like a lot of creative stuff.
Absolutely. Because because Aleister's creative as well. Okay, so Asuka, Drew promo. Drew just needs to shut up and let her talk. Lana and Ruby Riott run into each other. Ruby winds up saying that she's not buying what Lana's selling, and Lana gives a very good little natty promo as well as a very good Poison song. Give me something to believe in.
Exactly.
There's a Lord above. Give me something to believe in. Not that great of a Poison song, however. Peyton Royce comes out, and we get Peyton Royce versus Ruby Riott. This was a very good little match. Peyton Royce is getting so much better. That little spinning neck breaker she did at the end was crazy.
Brain buster?
Yes. Spinning neck breaker, brain buster. Ruby did well in the match as well, even though she lost. Letting these guys wrestle, Peyton is really getting better and better, and Ruby's always been good. Big Show talks about... Go ahead.
I think they're going to get her back together with Liv Morgan. And this is kind of her redemption story where she takes losses and everything, and we'll see.
Right. Then we get the Big Show thingy, and again, the story is Show doesn't respect them and that these guys are breaking up. Angel hangs out Andrade to dry. He walks into a choke slam. Whatever, at least it's over, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ricochet, Apollo. Yeah. Ricochet, Apollo, and Cedric and R-Truth are standing in the hallways, and this is just funny because they're all clever. And then MVP and Lashley wind up in the ring. We get the MVP Apollo match. And this is going to wind up being a half hour's worth of match of action that we're going to talk about here if you include this little promo where it starts. And I thought it was a really good half hour of
storytelling. Oh, yeah. You got to see some great wrestling. Yeah. And you got to see some really cool, storytelling.
Right.
I just thought it was good.
Yeah. Apollo winds up jumping MVP. We get a match. The double team efforts from Lashley and MVP wind up beating Apollo. So he winds up going over. But then we wind up with them trying to pull MVP and Lashley off of Apollo, Cedric and Ricochet. They wind up in another match where Ricochet's facing Lashley. We get a really good match here, which ends with Ricochet's just a phenomenal talent. And so is Bobby brutalized him during this thing, And
he definitely did the fight from under, and he does it great.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby
does the fight from on top really good, but it helps Ricochet. If you wrestle Ricochet a lot, it'd make him look, that dude's spectacular.
Yeah, he's something special. Okay, and so then we wind up with, of course, it ends with a full Nelson but Lashley's bleeding from his ear. We wind up.
Oh, you know what that was, don't you? I'm pretty sure.
What?
Pop one of his cauliflowers. One of those little cartilage.
Oh no! Really? He did hit the pole.
Usually those things get hit and then it'll just bleed really bad. I don't think it hurts too bad, but it bleeds a lot.
Right. Okay, and so then he winds up putting, because Cedric and Ricochet come at him one at a time, so I didn't have as big a problem with him getting them both in full Nelsons. And if you can give me a faction with Ricochet, Apollo, and Cedric, I'll take that all day.
I think they should run roughshod for a little bit.
Right. Okay, then we wind up with Dolph talking to Sasha and saying, hey, I'll coach you guys up. And Sasha says, look, dude, just, try not to lose this thing for us. And so we get a match with Sasha and Dolph and Asuka and Drew, and you get Bayley on commentary with Joe. And I thought this whole thing was done great. It was a fantastic match. It showcased what everybody can do. Sasha tagging herself in with a minute left in the show and chewing Drew out because he ain't all that. And then Drew turning because he can't hit her and knocking Dolph off the railing with the right cross. And then Sasha gets kicked in the head and kicks out at the last minute. And then they roll through like four submissions in like 30 seconds, which ends up with Sasha reversing the Asuka lock or rolling almost a float over of the Asuka lock into a pinning predicament and gets the pin there. And I just, a lot of good stuff on this.
Good wrestling.
That's right. end of the show, and I'm pumped up about seeing all of these things that are going to happen at the pay-per-view, except for, and if they'll leave the Profits and Andrade and him, Andrade and Garza alone, which I know they won't, that's going to be a great match too.
They do it.
But they can't do it. They just can't do it. And for the summertime classic, the Great American Bash, a tradition like none other from Dusty Rhodes. We'll get into that some other day, I'm sure. Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, Mia Yim have a number one contenders match. LeRae gets knocked out first. Yim is better. Go ahead.
I liked that this match went the complete opposite direction of the way I thought it was.
Absolutely. And Yim is so good in these matches like this. I wonder if with singles matches, she has a bit of a issue with pacing, because she's really good in these kind of matches. And she shined here, but she gets knocked out. And then we get Dakota Kai with the fantastic roll-up and bridge, by the way, to put out Yim. And then we get a one-on-one match between Kai and Nox. And Nox has a fall-away slam into a bridge as Kai was trying to do a crossbody, and that was high level, man.
Oh, they were killing it, man.
A lot
they
of this,
killing it.
A
that
lot
was
of
ridiculous.
Absolutely, Kai's submission hold is nuts. She gets her in one of those.
I love it.
Yeah, and then she gets out of it, and we get a shiniest wizard for the pin. And all of a sudden, to me going into this, the best wrestler in the match is Candice LeRae. She only wrestles for a little bit, and yet we still get a fantastic match here.
Yeah, I think that was really, because, she helped them out by letting them wrestle, because they really shined.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving on, Nox is number one contender. Then we get Lorcan and Thatcher. We get a fantastic amateur slash pro wrestling match. Maybe the match of the day, night, week. A lot of good wrestling on this week, but it was really spectacular. Or as Dave Meltzer rated it, 1.5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new Tokyo Dome, brother, and it's in Jacksonville.
No. That's what I'm talking about.
Roger Stone. Okay, so Thrasher winds up winning, and like I said, it was fantastic. You enjoyed it, right? It was amazing.
Uh-huh. If Morka was, if he was a little more, not a jobber, it would have been,
Yes, absolutely. Real fun. Okay, Roger Stone and Alea versus Rhea Ripley. And again,
wait. We missed the Karrion Kross came up promo.
Oh, okay, yeah, talk about it.
Well, it was a really good little, Ray called it out when it happened, when they broke the hourglass, it wasn't like you put off anything. That meant everything speeded up. So I'm excited to see where he attacks next and who he attacks next,
Exactly.
Is he going to take out whoever wins the belt and immediately be jumped via the front line?
Exactly. I would assume that whoever wins that match doesn't get to the back without him attacking them.
Yeah.
But... No, we'll see. We'll see. Okay.
Equally, Karrion Kross could be crazy.
I don't know how Karrion does his moveset with Keith, but Keith's athletic enough to help him, so you may be right on that.
Oh, dude. Falabala. He put that Saeeda suplex on Falabala like it wasn't even a thing.
Right.
And that dude's enormous and low, and, his body is like the worst thing ever to throw.
Yes.
Keith Lee's at least taller.
Yeah.
So he can get under him. Yeah. If he can hit that dude with it, he can hit just about any human being with it.
Right. Now we get Roger Stone and Aaliyah versus Rhea Ripley. And this is kind of a throwaway match, but two things really shine for me here. One, I forgot that Robbie E can wrestle a little bit. And two, if Rhea wasn't really beating the hell out of that girl, then Aaliyah did a great job of selling. And the picture at the end of it, again, a throwaway match, but it was a lot of fun. And the picture at the end of it with her having the clover leaf on both of them is just a great, mental picture of her, And is it weird and wonky that she got two people in a, of course. Still, her shoulders were broader than they were. She's leaning back just a little bit to hold them both up.
She's bigger than Robbie E, man.
Oh, big time. I thought it was well done. Then we get Loomis. Go ahead.
One thing, I did kind of hope that they were going to let them win in a wonky way over her just so she would have to hang out with Robert Stone.
Yeah, I get
it. Like, instead of him being in charge, she'd be like flapping him around and making him do things all the time. I thought that would have been fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
like,
bro.
He got what he wanted and it wasn't what he wanted.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And then, she could beat him up every show. Throw people into him, the works. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we wind up with Loomis and Roddy Strong next in a strap match. And I do consider a strap match kind of a Great American Bash Dusty style match.
Yeah, I do.
And we got one of those, and it was well done. And I'm kind of falling in love with Loomis a little bit, man crush thing. He's just so creepy.
I don't know how you did.
And so,
he's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and Roddy doesn't do average or even above average. He's just always great. And even Loomis winds up going over, but it was just well done. And Fish, the whole thing is just fantastic. And then we get a Keith Lee promo and a Cole promo, and they're just talking about what great years they had, and they're not lying. They had great years. And then we get a backstage segment with Gargano, and he's kind of making excuses for his wife getting knocked out first. And then he mentions his wife, and then he hears her in a fight. And he says something to the effect of, Candace is, and he hears her punching somebody, and he goes, she's the best. Then he runs away. Because, of course, my wife punching somebody in the mouth is what I want to see this afternoon. And it just, Swerve tries to break him up, and it was just a little cute, little well-done backstage segment, right?
I had no problem with it.
Yeah. Okay, Legendre del Fantasmo is a faction which walks to the ring, and I thought this was so well done. Once revered, the Lucha Libre culture has turned. It used to mean something. It used to be movie stars, role models, icons, and now we're just a sideshow. And just a bunch of guys in masks doing flips. And I thought it was great in both the, I could see where he's coming from with Lucha House Party style stuff. And even if you want to go to some of the other shows where they do a little bit of all luchadors do is jump around now.
Well, that's all that WWE, like, there's been one or two exceptions. And, like, Eddie Guerrero had to take his mask off to be taken seriously. Rey Mysterio is one of the few exceptions. A lot of times Rey was treated like that, even.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to Psychosis, Juventud Guerrera, super crazy.
Yeah.
Those dudes were some of the best wrestlers on the planet. How were they treated when they were in WWE?
Right. But the other thing that was cool, like if you know who Tejano is and a couple of those guys like that, they were luchadors, but they didn't do flips.
And no, that was not the whole thing.
And I thought it was interesting when I didn't know he was going to turn heel, although I figured it out pretty quickly, when he was wrestling that he wasn't doing the flips and he wasn't doing the things that you normally see luchadors in WWE do. And then to have him that come full circle and him explain why and explain that they have a guy in the faction that can do that. The guy that used to wear the bicycle helmet, he's going to be able to do that if he needs to, but
yeah,
the main cog in the wheel is a bruiser. And I think this is going to be a fun story to tell you.
Oh yeah. I'm excited.
Okay, we wind up with Drake Maverick and Breezango clearing the ring from those guys, and we're going to get a match with them next week, and that should be a good deal of fun, too. Main event of the evening time, Sasha versus Io Shirai. Fantastic match. I didn't like the ending at first, but I'm such a geek, I wound up watching the whole match again. And at the end, I'm watching, and Bayley throws the belts into the ring to distract. The ref notices the belt, and then Bayley grabs one belt and walks away to turn the ref's head. As Sasha grabs the belt, Asuka arises and hits her with the green mist, right? She walks into an uppercut. The ref's still not looking. She falls face down. So the ref, when he turns, doesn't see a green face on Asuka, right?
On Sasha.
She Yeah, Sasha. Then she hits the moonsault to the back of Sasha, rolls her over, and puts her thigh over Sasha's face. So again, you don't see the green face until after it's over.
So the game's over.
And it was done so perfect that I wound up having to kind of give it a nod, even though I wanted a clean finish, just because of the way that, I mean, they had to think that through, right? They had to go, hey, okay, remember now, if this is going to look...
I don't mind if it's done well.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
Because you had to put both of them over.
Mm-hmm.
One of them losing, you got, you know, you kind of, you backed yourself into a corner. You can't have a straight finish, but you did have a straight finish because she lost. She didn't, it wasn't a DQ. It wasn't a count out. Somebody lost and somebody won, but there was an explanation for why the person lost that gave it a little bit of an out.
And it also pushes, and it also highlights the Asuka Sasha match at the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, well done. Well done, evening. And we go to the last wrestling of the week. Or I was corrected by my man Justin here off air. It is actually the last of the sports entertainment television shows this week. Now, the original bro is in the ring with Michael Cole and gives us the dumbest promo I have ever heard.
It was kind of like, do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Mr. Deeds. Remember Mr. Yes, do you remember?
Why would you do that? I'm just kidding. It doesn't. I can't feel it.
That's what I was totally thinking of, dude.
Oh my God. And it's like, okay, I don't wear shoes because my parents took me on vacation to Wisconsin. And I stayed in the stove too long, and I frostbit my feet, and I also almost lost my feet, so now I don't wear shoes. All right, you jerk. You should have wore shoes. That's why you had the problem to begin with.
Yeah, dude.
The only...
Or he apparently has some sort of burning sensation every time he puts shoes on. I don't know. It sounds like strange.
Sounds like an excuse, because he likes to keep his shoes off.
Yeah. I don't mind him not wearing shoes. It gives him unique advantages. Shoes are good. But in things like submission wrestling and stuff like that, shoes are a liability.
Right.
You can't slip your foot out of a hold like you can with, you know. Everybody sits there and says, I'll reach down there and break your toes. Try to do that to somebody. It doesn't go as easily as you would think it goes.
Right. Now, the back-to-back winning comments were, what kind of family goes to Wisconsin on vacation by Graves, followed up by Corbin's, I don't wear shoes because I'm an idiot. So now I don't wear shoes anymore because I'm an idiot.
Yes. Corbin was killing it, actually. I give him credit.
Yes. Okay, and so then we wind up with Morrison versus Riddle because Corbin's not going to give him the satisfaction. And boy, do we get a dream match here. And they did it.
Oh, my God. This match was amazing.
Yes. Yes. He did a springboard corkscrew crossbody. Morrison did.
Yes, off the top of the, like, jumping to the ring rope, not off the corner.
Right.
He did it like AJ does the phenomenal forearm. He jumped up on top of the ropes.
Unreal.
It was ridiculous. I've never seen that.
No.
I'm sure people have done it, but.
I don't know. Just incredible. And then, He loses. The best spot in the whole thing, though, was Riddle yelling at him to hit me in the chest, hit me in the chest, hit me in the chest. And he goes, you want it? And he throws his elbow pad off, and he practices slamming his elbow into his hand, and then he thumbs him in the eye and laughs at the crowd for thinking he was really going to get into a tough guy match with him.
Yeah, dude, that is an MMA fighter. You know what's never tough? Eyeballs.
Right, but he does wind up getting...
You cannot strengthen those.
Right, he does wind up getting rolled up with the win, and I just thought this match was great. And then AJ attacks him, and then we wind up with a Gulak match next. Again, it's great. The Daniel Bryan coming in from Zoom utilizing Zoom on commentary and pointing out how just, dude, this whole time period here, you know, you kidding me? You open up your show, and you're going to give me Matt Riddle, John Morrison, AJ Styles, Drew Gulak, and, you know, AJ winds up winning, of course, and Daniel Bryan on commentary explaining the wrestling extravaganza I'm getting. Come on, man. That's just so good. All right. Bayley and Sasha on a roll. You did like the Gulak AJ match?
I did. I thought it was a great way to get AJ is back, you know, because he dominated that match. There were a few flurries, but he came out there and looked like, you know.
Like you should.
AJ Styles. I love Drew Gulak, but that's AJ Styles, and he should, you know, I don't mind him wailing somebody, you know.
Absolutely.
He deserves it.
Absolutely. Bayley and Sasha are on a roll. Sasha points out. Sasha three shows, Bayley three brands. I love it. Mm-hmm. Somebody respect us. The Undertaker called and told me that he was embarrassed that they took up so much time on the show when Bayley was there.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I love her Undertaker impression too.
Dude, she's killing it right now. She's killing it. Alexa and Nikki interrupt, and they tell a bunch of lies as well. And, you know, being sarcastic. We wind up where Sasha, the whole end of this is Sasha explaining that Bayley is going to fight Alexa right here, which is the opposite of what's been going on the whole time before, which I thought was a neat way to do it. Bayley wasn't quite dressed to wrestle, but she was in comfy clothes, so she gets in a match. She winds up going over with Dastardly Deeds, and I thought this was all well. No, she winds up going over with a DQ because Nikki winds up attacking. What'd you think about all this?
I thought it was good, well done. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a good little match. I didn't expect Alexa to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was funny that she didn't object to Nikki getting involved.
Yeah.
You call Stinger the match, technically.
Right. Right. Okay, and so then we wind up moving on to
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Dude, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kofi Kingston. Another dream match. Well done. I felt like they sold for each other. I felt like they worked well together. It was, what'd you think about all this?
I thought it was a great match. He's just, you know, great. Kofi Kingston is a world class, you know, deserves way more respect than he gets in that company. But I thought the ending was great. You know, Shinsuke kind of cheated. I think he raked the eyes and then hit the Kinshasa. So he won heelish, but he still won.
Right. That's good, right?
I'm cool with that.
Absolutely. And we're setting up this new day. This show is over. We got three dream matches. We got Bayley.
Oh, no, we can't skip over the ending.
Oh, I'm sorry. What am I skipping over?
The Sheamus is toast to Matt Hardy. Oh, Jeff Hardy.
I tried to mention
that happened.
I'm sorry.
Don't pretend it didn't happen.
Yes, Sheamus decides to, and he's being very evil and mean through this, and Jeff is being very baby facious. And I don't hate it. I don't love it. I hope there's a payoff. I've heard that Jeff is getting a second show on the network. I don't know what capacity that'll be. I'm assuming another day in the life thing. And maybe he'll talk about all of this even more, which would be an interesting thing to put. If you were to let him go off camera and talk about why he feels like it's okay to be portraying his addiction issues for the whole world to see, that would be interesting. And I would appreciate it, actually. And I would actually appreciate this angle more. Now, going back to the show, you wind up with, you know, him being mean, and he fakes like he's going to drink, which he's not. And then the poor bartender should have. But, you know, maybe he should have known why he was getting, you know, Sheamus, I'm sure, is paying him a lot of money and tipping him very well, like every bartender that goes to somebody's house and works a personal party with a catering service. They always, you know, the first thing that happens, I've bartended a million of these over the years, not a million, several over the years. And the first thing that happens is the guy who runs the thing says, look, I don't care if you drink, just don't let all the other kids that are doing this catering thing drink. And you go, cool. And you pour yourself a drink and you take that $100 tip to start with, and then you put your cup out there and you know you're walking home with four. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
because they made you put on a tux for some reason, right? And and so, but when he was not getting four, he was getting seven. He should have known that he was only going to be serving one guy. It was going to involve a champagne bottle to the back of the head, and
exactly,
and a quick nap at the end of his shift.
Poor guy.
So, what did you think about the show? Good show.
Good show, especially the ending. Didn't really like the ending, but
I get it. It was, you know, we're beating a dead horse right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, I did like the week. I liked three of those matches we got on SmackDown. I loved everything on NXT. I thoroughly enjoyed the matches. We got some great tag team wrestling on Monday night without the tag teams. You know, the worst tag team match was the one with the two tag teams in it, right?
Isn't that funny?
It is, because those are good. Those are really good wrestlers. You know what I mean? So you would think, but who cares? Anyway, my point is, this was a great week of pro wrestling, and I really sports entertainment, and I really enjoyed it. You as well?
I did.
All right. Then for Justin, for me, KP, we'll be putting this on out there. Thank you. This has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. Go on home.